This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome in. Hour one, a lot of college basketball and Buck asbestos talk. As Buck has been living in some sort of weird chemical prison in his house. Radon gas, asbestos, no big deal. Knew it when he moved in.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're fine.
Rolled the dice, you know?
Ropp possibly out with bird flu.
Or cat AIDS.
Yeah, we don't know. One of those things. Some NFL stuff coming out today. You know, they're in the middle of the old meetings where we have proposed rule changes. You know, the dynamic kickoff. There's talk of moving the dynamic kickoff now to the 35, encouraging no touchbacks. If you move it out to the 35, the idea is that no one's going to want to have a touchback. There's some pushback saying that the 35 is too much. The tush push for some god unknown reason.
Still a topic.
That's still a topic. Can we just finally put this damn thing to bed? I don't care about the tush push one way or another. I just want it to go away.
I saw an Eagles reporter say the other day, you know what? Let them take the tush push. The Eagles will still be better at running the ball in short yarded situations. Then you'll be the team that forever had the thing that no one could stop and just leave it at that.
So Green Bay is the one that I guess brought this to the table. Sean McVay came out today and made a big old stink about it. Yep. And said that it didn't look like football to him, which is absolutely silly. I saw someone else say, you know, that what about like no huddle offenses? What about trying to snap the ball before a defense is ready? Same sort of thing, but somehow with the tush push. Also, at the end of the day, get a quarterback that can squat 600 pounds. I hate the idea that every offseason we still have to go back to this. Even the Bills that ran the tush push like five times, and by the way, failed on it multiple times.
Yeah, it's proof that not everyone can do it because we see people try to do it and screw it up.
The Bills lost their season. They got the biggest
because it wasn't really a tush push. They didn't get low enough. They didn't like attack one area. Like it was Josh Allen kind of running into the line. Yeah, it's not as simple as it looks.
But apparently that's because become an offseason topic. Also, the Aaron Rodgers non-news. At this point with Aaron Rodgers, he's only got two options.
We've got that coming up in Stockwatch as well. Mike Tomlin was asked about that today. Well,
like he's now playing catch with DK Metcalf. Like you're now like Aaron Rodgers is now just having workouts with DK. Just sign with the Steelers already.
What is this like a? Is this speed dating? What are we doing here?
Here's my thing with Aaron Rodgers. And maybe it's our fault because we buy into the Aaron Rodgers stuff. But at some point, if every offseason, and maybe he loves this, and so maybe this is, you know, maybe this is just one of those I'm a talking head and Aaron Rodgers could give two Fs. But generally in life, if you are the source of controversy and discussion around your dinner table, in your friend group, at your office, it generally means that you're an ass. And Aaron Rodgers is a great player. Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks to ever play.
But he's a headache.
And at this point, you're not very good. And so the lack of self-awareness that every single offseason, and then by the way, when people do bring this up, you act as if it's their fault. You act as if it's some sort of media sort of contrived thing.
And by the way,
I totally get the media thing, the Stephen A. Smiths of the world and, you know, threatening to swing on LeBron James with his
God.
His sweet boxing technique and cool tank top. I get it. The media is insufferable a lot of times.
Sure.
But if you're Aaron Rodgers, how many years in a row do you want to do this and continue to just be the center of...
Don't act like you're not playing into this.
Exactly. It's a mess.
If you really hated the media that much, you just get away from it and you do football stuff. But you don't.
And yet here, Pittsburgh, and you know, Pittsburgh is trying to have to walk this fine line. We've had Cam Hayward come out and say, either you are or you aren't with us. He's had to backtrack that. Mike Tomlin came out today and said he's very comfortable with Mason Rudolph being his quarterback. To hell you are. But it's just such a weird, bizarre thing. I kind of want Pittsburgh to just tell Aaron Rodgers to go F himself.
I would love, because then what does he do?
He's got nothing.
Is he then just the quarterback sitting on the couch waiting for the first injury of the season?
Yes.
For him to step in?
Yes. He's just sitting around. He's at this point, he would just be, and by the way, he may still do that. And that's the part that's got to be maddening if you're the Steelers or if you're the Giants or anyone. He may just be sitting around anyways inside. I'm going to wait and see if someone blows out a knee. I'm going to wait and see if a real contending team actually needs me.
And what if they don't? And what if this is just how it ends?
I kind of...
sitting there waiting for a call.
I kind of, at this point, want Aaron Rodgers to just go away. And this is the same thing. I've got friends of mine that are diehard Packer fans. And this is how you know the Aaron Rodgers thing has worn thin. I mean, Aaron was great. He led him to a Super Bowl, what, three MVPs, I think, when he was in Green Bay?
That's right.
Two even towards the end of his career. I mean, they were winning double-digit games, and towards the end, I know for a fact that the vast majority of Green Bay fans were just ready to be done. They didn't care. They're like, even if Jordan Love can't play, and it turns out Jordan Love can play a little bit, verdict's still out about whether or not that guy is the next, you know.
But Rodgers continually was holding them hostage and holding the fan base and management hostage over what he wanted. It became a lot.
And they just wanted it to be over. And so if you're a Pittsburgh fan, I don't know a lot of Steeler fans. I know it's a great fan base. I know it's a very storied franchise. I just, if I'm a Steeler fan, I don't want this. I really don't. Because the juice is no longer worth the squeeze. Because Aaron Rodgers can still play a little bit. You look at the second half of the season last year with the Jets. He wasn't terrible. Aaron Rodgers is not taking the Pittsburgh Steelers to a Super Bowl. He's not. And you're getting him for 1 year. So you're just continuing to put a Band-Aid over a seeping wound.
That's 1 year that you're not getting a step closer with your actual quarterback.
Yes.
Or an actual quarterback.
You know, if you're the Steelers at some point, just you've got to rip it off. You got to stop trying to cover this thing up and just find a solution. And I know it's hard to do when you're not willing to take a step back. I get it. I mean, we had the Cleveland Browns came out today and said that the Deshaun Watson thing is over. The Browns owner at the meetings, just he in his own words.
He called it a swing and a miss.
He called it one of the big swings and miss in NFL history, and will probably go down as the worst trade in NFL history. They gave Deshaun Watson, or they gave the Houston Texans 3 first-round picks, I think a 3rd and 2 4ths, and gave Deshaun Watson the biggest guaranteed deal in the NFL. And they got nothing for it. I mean, it will go down as the worst trade. But I think if you're a Cleveland fan, now I'm not in favor of Deshaun Watson. I wasn't at the time, but I understood it. But at least it's an attempt and it didn't work and you're ready to turn the page. And if you're Pittsburgh, it never feels like there's really an attempt.
Yeah.
Ever since Roethlisberger left, it's just you have a massive wound in the middle of your team. And all you try to do is you don't even try to stitch it up. You just keep putting Band-Aids on it.
It seems like second, third, fourth round guys that they give a shot to, other has-been guys that they give a shot to. And it's just they haven't put their chips in the middle on a franchise guy since Ben left.
No. And now we're waiting around for Aaron Rodgers. And I know the prospect of starting Mason Rudolph, despite what Mike Tomlin will tell you, that they're okay with that. I get that that's terrifying, but sometimes you just have to go into
the darkness. How about you go draft somebody and let Mason Rudolph start?
Sometimes you just have to say, we don't have one, and until we find it, what we're doing isn't good enough. Because right now, this idea of waiting around for your savior that is Aaron Rodgers and the problems that come into that.
And you tried to kind of walk two different plans last year with Fields and Wilson. It was like,
And now we're sitting there, and now if you're a Steeler fans, you're getting to watch Aaron Rodgers play catch with DK Metcalf, but I'm still not certain. I don't know. Yeah, I don't really have any other options, but I don't know if I really want to. I'm going to play catch with the big free agent receiver that you guys went out and got, or I guess traded for, but I'm not certain if I want to commit to you. Dude, Pittsburgh, go tell Aaron Rodgers to go take a flying you-know-what. At this point, if your franchise is there in the Aaron Rodgers business, you deserve what you get. Buyer beware. You know what you're getting. Every single year, this is what Aaron Rodgers does. And it's been going on for a number of years now. Buyer beware. And right now, there's only one buyer. Good for the Giants, by the way, for saying, you know what, we're done with
this
crap.
I'd way rather have Jameis as a stopgap before my next QB.
We got Jameis, we got Russell Wilson, we're probably going to draft one anyways, to hell with it, we're done. Yeah. We're not doing this crap. You know, Cleveland, you know what, hey, we swung, we missed, move on, we're going to take someone. We're not doing the Aaron Rodgers
thing. Imagine a new QB in New York being mentored by Jameis and Russ Wilson simultaneously. What a nightmare.
Mr. Unlimited and eating those W's.
Yeah.
Dude, that is... The quotes that are come out of that place, dude, sign me
that
up.
That poor rookie's head's going to explode.
Sign me up for the New York Giants fan club. Let's go. All right, we come back. A little stock watch here on a primetime Monday here on The Fan.
It's primetime stock watch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Soup buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stock Watch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
We do it every Monday where it is Ryan Buckley's time to shine. Back from Hawaii and has put together, I'm sure, an award-winning stock watch.
Award-winning indeed. In fact, I'll even segue from our last segment. We're talking a little bit about Mike Tomlin, the Steelers, and their direction at quarterback. He was asked about that in the media sessions today at the coaches and owner meetings, and here's what Tomlin had to say about waiting for Rodgers.
He's a free agent. As you guys know, he came to visit last Friday. We had a really productive day. He's been in this thing a long time. I've been in this thing a long time. But it's no substitute for, you know, intimacy and spending time together and getting to know one another in a non-competitive environment. And so that was really good. But I don't have any new updates in terms of where the process is. We'll see where it leads us.
How unsettling is it, or is it, to not have this situation?
I'm really comfortable with being unsettled this time of year, to be quite honest with you. It's about talent acquisition. We got two means of main means of acquiring talent, free agency and the draft. We multitask. We do both. Those needs that we fulfill in free agency, we do so there, and when we don't, we fulfill it in the draft. And so I just learned over the years that this time of year, although, you know, day to day can be somewhat uncomfortable, it is a process.
Lot there from Tomlin, but my main question here is, after talking about sharing quality time and intimacy, the longer this goes without Rodgers getting an offer from the Steelers, the less likely it is that Rodgers plays a starting quarterback role this season.
I think there's an element of truth to what he said. Look, he clearly would like this resolved. No one wants to go into the season with Mason Rudolph as your quarterback. Don't.
And he can't come out and say our front office is blowing it, right?
But you're not happy about that. You're not drafting one. You're not in a position to draft one high enough where you're bringing in Jackson Dart, you know, in the second round and saying that guy is going to be your starter. So right now, if you're Pittsburgh, Aaron Rodgers is your best option. I think that means something about the state of your team. That's your savior. But I do think he's fine, and he knows that there's time. Hopefully, maybe Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers, they work something out. But I also think that if it doesn't work with Pittsburgh, I don't think Aaron Rodgers will shut the door. I think he will wait around and wait for an injury. I do not think you've seen the end, whether it's Pittsburgh or somewhere else. I think Aaron Rodgers still has enough juice, and there's just not enough good quarterbacks in this league. In the second half last year with the Jets was not atrocious for him. Someone, unfortunately, will give him another chance, and this saga will continue.
Well, let's move over to the hardwood. It was the beginning when these brackets came out, that Suki brackets came out with his handicap of the tournament. The Duke will make the final. We're now one game away from having that happen. That was the bet, wasn't it? Duke
yes.
to make the championship game?
I have Duke to make the championship game, and I have Duke to win the whole thing. But making the championship game, I think the thing was, since the tournament expanded, seven teams have been top 10 in offense and defensive adjusted efficiency, and seven have made the final. Six of them have won the title. The only team to be this year in the top 10 in both, Duke.
Here is their head coach, John Shire, on his team's appearance in the Final Four.
Couldn't be more excited and happy for these guys to my left. I think Tyrese and I, the feeling of losing last year at this point, every decision we made, everything we did was to get back here and then have the team have the opportunity to advance to the promised land, to go to San Antonio, to go to the Final Four. So couldn't be more proud of the team as a whole, their attitudes the whole season from day one. I think this group has been different. They make fun of me. I keep telling them, don't change. Don't change. Keep being them. And I thought the story tonight against an incredible offense, and Nate does an amazing job with their offense and the way they play. It's like nobody else. To hold them to 65 points is incredible.
So Duke has essentially done everything that we have expected them to from a odds and chalk standpoint. Buy or sell, it will be a surprise if Duke does not win the title.
Yeah, Duke's the best team in the country. The numbers say it. And by the way, Ken Pom says that these four teams are four of the best teams in college basketball since Ken Pom started tracking this stuff, which is somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's four of the top eight all time or something like that. It's crazy.
It's silly. These teams are all very, very good. But when you look at them, look, Houston, you could say, is fortunate to be here, could have gotten bounced. Florida should have been bounced. Florida, Texas Tech S'd the bed. They pulled in Arkansas, right? Auburn has looked good, but Auburn has looked shaky or vulnerable at times. Duke has not. Duke just, they're the best team in the country.
And they caught a good punch from Arizona in that game, and they proved they still got all that it takes to weather a storm like that.
Cooper Flagg has been amazing. He's the best player in college basketball, be the player of the year.
And their other players are pretty good too.
Well, he didn't even have a great game in the Elite Eight, and it didn't matter. They kept a comfortable lead against Alabama, who, by the way, is just an offensive juggernaut, and Duke held them down. Duke's the best team in basketball, yes. I said at the beginning of the tournament, bet against Duke at your own peril, and so far they have looked the part. Anything can happen, but yes, I will be shocked if Duke does not make the final and if Duke does not end up cutting down the nets.
We don't spend a lot of time dabbling in the women's game, but we do like us a good quote from Kim Mulkey. So her LSU Tigers were bounced over the weekend. Here is an exchange between her and another LSU reporter in her press conference.
Jaden Smith, KLSU Sports. Coach, it's the second straight year you guys get eliminated in the Elite Eight.
Yeah. Is that good?
Terrible.
How many Final Fours you play in?
None.
So it's probably pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Here she goes again, now being questioned about not making the Final Four 2 years in a row. Didn't like it. Asked the young, intrepid reporter how many women's Final Fours that young man has played in. Buy or sell, Kim Mulkey is the most insufferable college coach, men or women, in any sport.
Ah, boy, that's a tough call.
I know it's a leap. I'm trying to think of somebody
I'm going to have to defend her. And look, I hate this lady. I think she is an absolute, I can't call her what I want to call her. But like I saw today, I think it was Stephen A. The clip was going around where he was like, she's a nasty woman. So is Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo is a bitch. Dude, Tom Izzo is as cranky as all get out. Jim Calhoun was a red ass. Coach K was a red ass. Dude, there's so many of these guys that are just, I mean, honestly, Bobby Knight might be the worst human being to ever walk a college sideline. And don't give me that he was great to his players. Bobby Knight was a piece of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely horrid human being. I don't care what anyone says.
Oh, and I'm not saying of all time, but in the current college landscape.
This is what I'm saying, though. We ignore and we make excuses for men. Mm-hmm. And when women do it, that's when we're like, well, she's a bitch.
I think that's fair.
And so I think she's the same lady that said, if you didn't send your kid to Baylor, she would punch you. By the way, Baylor was in the midst of like 52 rape cover-ups for their football team. And that's when she said, like, if you don't support Art Briles, you don't want to send your kid here, I'll punch you in the face. So believe me, in that instance, Kim, yeah, you were being a bitch too. And you were being a horrible human being. But I'll defend her in this one. Is that a snarky comment? Well, of course it is, because I hate the argument of, you know, that's like me saying something about Aaron Rodgers. How many Super Bowls have you won?
Sure.
Nothing, dude. I stood on the sidelines. You're 1,000 times better player than me. Michael Irvin is one of the best receivers of all time. I think Michael Irvin is a horrible analyst, and I don't sure. believe anything he says about football. So I hate that argument. But I don't like that we're now taking this, and we're trying to focus on her and say she's the worst. She is just like, how about this? We love equality, right? Women can do anything that men can do.
She's so, just as much of a bitch as Tom is with an ass.
She's just as much of a bitch and a red ass and what I think is a despicable person on the sidelines as any men's coach. And there's the equality. I am a feminist in this case.
Look at you bringing us together.
Women can do just as poor and just as crappy a job as men can in being decent human beings.
Hand in hand, they stand as one.
Yeah, Dan Hurley. That's right.
There you go.
Dan Hurley is a bigger
That's
bitch
right.
than Kim Mulkey.
Agreed.
I'll stand that. Dan Hurley's the biggest ass.
We agree with that. Good call there from the text line. And also on the text line, this came up. I'll play a clip of one of these 15 strikeouts for you.
3-2, two down. Pitch is strike three called. Perfect slider on the corner. And the inning is over. Two more punch outs for Devers today.
Rafael Devers now 0-for-19 to start the season with 15 strikeouts. For reference, the entire 1995 season in which he had 585 at-bats, Tony Gwynn struck out 15 times total. Buy or sell that Rafael Devers' inability to hit a baseball is going to get him benched before he gets his first hit.
Look, this is only funny. Look, it's so early. The Red Sox are 1-4. By the way, the Red Sox were the sexy pick to win the East.
Yeah, they were trendy.
They were trendy. A lot of people had them to. I think
thought they were sneaking up on the Yankees and the Orioles. Yeah.
And if you don't know, the Red Sox went and got Devers has been the Red Sox third baseman.
Mm-hmm.
So they go, the Red Sox in the offseason go sign Alex Bregman, who also is a third baseman.
And a better third baseman.
Better third baseman. But Devers has done a nice job hitting.
Yes.
As a third baseman.
Yes.
Bregman is a better third baseman.
Yeah, Bregman better defensively. Yes. Devers has been recently more impressive offensively.
Yes. And when they brought him in, Devers was like, no, I'm not moving. I am the third baseman. Like, he was, like, defiant. It was like...
He just got here. That's my job.
Yeah, that's
not
my job.
It.
F you. I ain't moving. Well, guess what? He moved.
Uh-huh.
They put him at DH.
Everyday DH.
And he freaking is off to the worst start in Major League history. And it is hilarious. But no, they signed Devers to a big deal. As bad as 0-19 and the 16 strikeouts?
It's either 15 or 16. I thought it was 15, but either way, we're in ugly territory.
It's bad, but it's early. I'll have to look it up, but they gave him a big contract.
Will he get a day off before he gets his first
hit? They just sit him down. Like,
why don't you take a couple breaths here, Ben?
Said, Lindor's getting the day off for the Mets, but he had a kid. So, no, though, he will get a hit. He'll get a hit. Are they playing tonight?
Let's find out.
And see where they're. I'll take a look and see if they're playing. I don't. Yeah, they're playing the Orioles.
Oh, they already played.
Oh, they already played.
They already played. And
I'm
let's
guessing he
see.
Went. He went over.
Yeah, he went over three with three Ks. He walked twice though, so he's seeing the ball well.
He'll get a hit. He'll get a hit tomorrow. Confident. He'll get a hit tomorrow. All right, Stock Watch brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. For all your questions, Goldberg Jones, those are good people. So when you get a bestest in your home and your wife gets all pissy at you, Buck, and eventually you have to break up and you've been poisoning your family with radar and gas and whatnot.
Mesothelioma and all that.
There you go. Call Goldberg Jones. Questions answered for free. They do a good job over there. We'll be back. Gosh, it is March 31st in the year of our Lord, 2025. It is going fast. It is time for In the News. Kind of crazy that tomorrow is April 1st.
Yeah.
And by the way, don't...
Big time.
Don't
we're one quarter done now? One quarter down?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, we are.
3, 6, 9, 12. Yeah.
How do I... Wait, are we four? No. Yeah. That is weird. Quarter of the year gone by.
25% of 25, down and out.
That's supposed to be like in the 70s this weekend. So
yeah,
spring's here. I had to cut my grass for the first time this weekend.
Yeah, we came back and ours was quite overgrown. The neighbor asked if we needed help.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
So basically, you came back home. You have to move out of your house because you have radon gas and asbestos.
Yeah.
And now your lawn is so bad that your neighbors are asking if you're like an elderly couple that needs help?
Something like that.
What the hell is going on over at the Buckley household?
It's Thunderdome.
Are you all right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are there problems?
I promise we're fine.
Do we need
like we're fine.
Do we need like a fundraiser?
Ooh, a GoFundMe? Maybe.
Does the Buckley house need a GoFundMe?
Just scam my way into a little more privilege?
See what you're doing here. I don't even know if you really have asbestos. It's all part of the long con. It is National Crayon Day, so you got that. There was nothing more...
Wait, crown or crayon?
Crayon.
Okay, yeah.
Crayon. I always say, you know, it's one of those like crown, crayon, mm-hmm. crayon.
Some people say crayon.
Yeah, I butcher that. I butcher a lot of things. It's like I always say pillow.
My oldest kid likes to play with them. The youngest likes to eat them.
Oh, does he poop the colors?
No, we just... We'll somehow the crayons all often end up in the same area on the dining room table where we eat, and yeah. It'll be dinner time, and then suddenly you realize he's like chewing a piece of like what looks like licorice. You're like, oh, that's black crayon, isn't it?
Yeah.
Great.
We had a dog when I was growing up, and we lived in Gresham, named Sniff Sniff, and he was a notorious crayon eater,
pooping in Technicolor.
Yeah, and it was kind of fun. You know, I supposedly they're non-toxic.
That's right. That's
but
why
yeah,
kids play
when,
with them.
When he would poop, it would, you know, you're like, that's a burnt sienna. You know, that's a
yeah.
It's a right. Vibrant.
There's a goldenrod.
Yeah. It's always frustrating though when you're trying to like color your favorite like Ninja Turtle or something though, and he ate your damn orange. You're like, son of a, you know what?
How am I supposed to get a Michelangelo now?
Yeah. It's also a little embarrassing. Like I was so bad for the kid that showed up with like the 12 pack. You know?
Instead of like the the Crayola like
64,
the 64 became the big one, and then 60. I think they expanded around my era to a 96. But
there's a 96.
That's just too much, though. Yeah, they were having people name unnamed mystery colors and stuff like that. It was a whole thing,
dude. When you were like in the first grade, dude, it was a boss move to show up with the 64 and the sharpener on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and if you lost one or two of those,
yeah.
Devastating to not have your full set.
But then you roll in and there's like that poor bastard next to you and he just felt terrible. He's rocking a 12 pack and you're just like, or the worst is the six, the primary color one.
Ooh.
That's no good.
Yeah.
And then I do remember when my kids were going up through school, and I understand why they did this, but it was a little, I thought it was kind of problematic. It was very, socialistic.
Okay.
They did everyone, you brought in crayons for everybody, and then the teacher distributed them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that starting, like, I was in, I want to say, like, second grade,
yeah.
And everyone was, it wasn't even crayons, everyone was just supposed to bring in pencils.
Yes.
We're all learning how to write,
yes.
Probably in cursive or whatever, and I got these, like, really slick, shiny,
yeah.
Metallic black kind of, like, pencils. And then I realized they had to just go into the pile of yellow Ticonderogas and other kids were going to write with them. Big time exactly. Bummer.
It's such a bummer. Like, same thing. Like, I always had the NFL pencils.
Yeah, you bring those and suddenly little Johnny's playing with the Lions and somebody else has the Bears and you're like, where's my NFC North?
Exactly. You had to partition out like where it was gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
Like I always liked like the Buccaneers and the Browns went first.
Yes.
Through those guys.
You'd savor your best team pencils.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Eagles or the Cowboys pencil, like the bright red or the bright green, mm-hmm. of like a color. You're like, all right, I'm holding on to that one.
Yep. Those
yeah. Now they just do like the one big pile because I think they felt bad for the kids that, you know, were rocking the crappy like number four pencil in the 12 pack of and not even the Crayola, you know. There was like the off-brand. It's
yeah.
No good. It's no good. It's also National Bunsen Burner Day, which was always fun in school.
Oh, yeah.
When you got to break out the Bunsen Burner.
Sure.
And National Prom Day.
Prom Day? Is prom upon us already in April?
That's what I was a little thrown off.
I thought
off.
That was kind of an end of the school year thing.
I thought so, too.
Hmm.
Is anyone out there? Like, I don't have kids that are... my kids are all beyond that, so I don't know. But I thought that was weird that today was National Prom Day.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was weird. I'm with you. I thought prom was more an end, like the last fiesta of the school year. I thought that was prom. Because then you see the kids out, like, you know, you're like going to pick up some food. And like you're at like an Olive Garden or something. There's a bunch of kids rolling in. You're
and
like,
yeah. Tuxedos with their boutonnieres.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heading to like Hoosong and Larry's. We're going to live it up. Like, yeah. Heading to the nice Maybe if you're lucky, maybe you go to a Stanford's, really stepping it up a notch. Unless you're the Buckley household, they were probably sending you to some fancy restaurant. Smelt poachers. I don't know if you saw this, but we have stopped. We have stopped a criminal organization of smelt poachers.
I don't even, like, is, like, smelt the fish?
The fish.
I didn't know that fish could be poached other than, like, in cooking.
Well, I saw this. Look, can I be honest with you?
Sure.
It's kind of a slow news day.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, put him in jail!
When I'm leading off with smelt poachers.
Smelt poaching.
Well, you know, like, when they make big drug busts?
Yeah.
How they always lay out all of the...
Do they lay out a couple of fishies?
They lay out the drugs and the guns, and they got, like, the dog there.
Uh-huh.
So I went to Oregon Live today. And sure enough, this was the headline story. Smelt poachers caught with over a ton of fish during one day's season. And I was like, all right, you got me at smelt poachers. So I click on it. And here's the photo. It's three police trucks all backed up and the police department out there. And they're all like, manly men, please. And then there's just buckets of fish. So I guess it turns out the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office seized over 2,500 pounds of illegally harvested smelt.
Yeah, I see all this smelt now. That is, I mean, it's quite the haul of smelt.
Yeah, so I guess on one day, March 27th, there was a rare opportunity that drew large crowds. So between the Sandy River's mouth and the Stark Street Bridge,
okay.
Apparently they said for one day only, you can go dip net the smelt.
Now, what is, like, the street price of smelt especially high? Is that what,
I had no idea. But apparently, like, it brought everyone out. They're like, oh, my God, the smelt run one day.
I didn't realize it could be such a profitable turn for criminals. You know?
It was only the third time in more than a decade that they allowed people to go and catch these smelt. And, you know, the smelt, they're like the little, they're not big. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I'm looking at these photos, and I'm like, I didn't think it was a large fish. It's not. So how much money can you actually make off all these little smelt?
I don't know. But you were allowed. Each person with a license was allowed to go dip netting, and you could get a 10-pound harvest.
Okay.
10 pounds.
So when you get how many tons?
So it was basically like a 5-quart bucket, like one of those like Home Depot buckets.
And what did the poachers have?
You could fill that up. These poachers were caught with 2,500 pounds of smelt.
Yeah, that's more than 10.
Yeah, it's more than 10. And so they busted these sons of bitches, and they're like, yeah, nice try.
How dare you?
So they took away all their smelt, and I was like, oh, my God, you can't, like, hot smelt talk. And then each one of them got a ticket. That was
I wonder what the cost of doing business in illegal smelt dealings is.
Yeah, all individuals found in violation of harvest regulations were issued citations, the sheriff's office said in a social media post. And then the seized smelt were donated to the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs. I want to know, and this is why, I'm leading with the story. The reaches of this program are immense. There is someone out there that is going to know what the ticket is for illegal smelt harvesting.
Sure.
And I want to know.
Or the benefit for why you would go out and get your 10 pound of smelt.
Yes. Or in this case, 2,500 pounds of smelt. Yeah. That's a lot of smelt.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, like, if you're, like, taking an extra bucket or two, but 2,500 pounds? But I love
three truckloads.
I love that the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office staged a photo.
They're on it,
of their prize smelt grab. So this lets be known, you sons of bitches out there. When we say one 10-pound bucket of smelt, we mean it. And if you violate it, we're coming after your ass hard. And when we get you, punishment will be swift and just. I'm guessing it's like a $200 ticket, but I kind of want to know. So if you're aware of what the citation is for illegal smelt harvesting, please let me know. Because wouldn't it be awesome if it was like a $25 ticket? If it was like a parking ticket?
But what if it's like 25 per 10 pounds you go over?
And
they just ramp it up on you. I don't know.
Just know. Sleep the sleep of angels, Multnomah County, knowing that your sheriff's department is out there making sure.
Yeah, justice never sleeps.
Justice never sleeps. Not for the smelt and not for the honest anglers out there getting your 10 pounds of smelt. When we come back, we got more bridge kerfuffles and... what else we got? Yeah, I got bridge and I got pot news as well. So if you like the pot cookies but are lactose intolerant, be careful. As I told you, slow day of news. And the news when we come back here on The Fan. All right, time for one more story. We did get an update, though. Someone has pointed out we were talking about this big smelt heist that the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office busted. God, look at us laying it. The sheriff's department laying it on the line for us each and every day.
Someone You'd said, love to see it.
Someone said about there's a website selling 11 pounds of smelt for $100. So you do some math.
Because people were allotted 10 pounds.
People were allotted 10 pounds. So we're looking at the illegal smelters. It would have been about 22 grand. So you know what? Not a bad little scam.
A day's work. If you can scoop that all up in one day and then sell it off, you know.
Yeah, you go out and do some dip netting. You get
I
yourself.
See why you'd try.
Is that like, I don't know if you can sell all of that smelt before it goes bad, but you know, let's say conservatively, there's going to be some waste. Let's say about 17 to 18 grand. So what is the fine for $18,000 worth of illegal smelt? We'll find out. If you like the pot cookies, but you're lactose intolerant, apparently some cannabis cookies have been sold in 37 different marijuana retailers across Oregon, and they've all been recalled because milk was not listed in the packaging. So.
That's like we did that story about all the butter that had to be thrown out because they didn't list that it was like dairy.
Right.
eating a cookie unless it says dairy because it didn't say dairy free on it. Right. It just included it because it was a cookie.
If you're buying a cookie, don't you assume, especially, let's be honest, if you're buying a weed cookie. No, I'm not going to give you no cookie. Don't you assume that has milk in it?
I would think so.
So I had to recall thousands of weed cookies?
Well, and if you're the gluten intolerant one, just check the ingredients yourself.
Well, and
right?
You're eating weed, okay? Doesn't that just come with the territory? There's a certain level of risk. You're buying weed. What happened back in the day when you had to buy from your local dealer? You know, it's just you took some chances. He's a bitch. Buying weed cookies, you don't get to complain. So you got a little lactose intolerant. What's the worst that's going to happen? You get the munchies and the runs all at the same time. You get the trots. Deal with it.
Although I suppose that having the trots or the scoots while you're deep down in that little abyss, that wouldn't be as fun.
Yeah. What was the other one? Oh, I had this.
Bridge kerfuffle?
Yeah, the bridge kerfuffle. You know, we're trying to get a new bridge. Put across the old I-5 there.
Mm-hmm.
I love, too, that there's a bill now saying that we need to explore. We need, again, another fact-finding committee to decide whether or not we will put the bridge there.
Yeah, let's commission a new study.
Don't worry, it'll be done by 2026. But, you know, one of the long holdups has been light rail. Oregon wants light rail into Washington, and Washington doesn't want light rail for some unknown reason. Apparently, we hate mass transit. And so there's a whole debate of if it adds light rail, who's going to pay for it? So one of the Washington City Council gals was on the C-board or the C-TRAN board. And they were going to vote on basically who would run and fund the light rail if it were to go. And I guess she was the deciding vote. And she let everyone know that she was going to vote no. So they fired her ass before they held the vote. Which, by the way,
it's a good way to curry vote in your favor.
It's kind of an ingenious move. She's suing and saying, listen here, you sons of bitches, you can't do that. So now we've got some lawsuit, which I thought was kind of funny. I do appreciate the fact that they're like, what, you're going to vote against what we want? Cool. We're just firing you. I like now that this is where we're at in our.
All right, watch this.
This is where we're at in our political discourse. Judges, C-TRAN boards. Hey, you don't vote the way we like. Yeah, you're fine.
Oh, you're competent and capable of your job, but you disagree with us? See ya!
So, look, this bridge will be, by the time we finish some study, we deal with the light rail thing, I'll see you in, 2040 when we actually start putting a shovel into the ground somewhere to build this bridge, and then something else will happen and we won't get it done. Until then, sweet I-5 bridge that has to be lifted. It's kind of an embarrassment that's our bridge situation. One of these days, one of them will collapse anyways, then we'll be forced to build a new one. So, there you go. There's your very, very slow news day. Smelt bridge news and...
I like smelt poachers.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Way to go for the Multnomah County Sheriff. That was your... Probably for the Fish and Wildlife, that's like their Super Bowl, right? How many times do you catch, poachers in the act?
Yeah, it's the text line referencing that catching wildlife crime is tough to do, so... Big deal.
There you go. There's in the news. We come back. Hot 5 at 5. Primetime rolls on here on The Fan.